store-a-thons this week. And what are you signing up for? Prayer? Food? The prep day? Amen. And then, lastly, pledges. Amen. What's the number? Anybody know it? 863-422-9583. 863-422-9583. We're going to hear that a lot this week, aren't we? Outside of the listening area, 1-800-422-9583. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. A lot of times we give testimonies. I'll just say this. What a blessing it is to have a ministry that stretches and all the night while we lay down and sleep. Somebody's hearing preaching somewhere around the world because it's online and local. And folks, it never sleeps. It constantly cranks. Pastor Roy says the sun never goes down on our ministry. And I'll just say that. It was reminded, I was thinking Restore-a-thon this morning, and we talked about that light. Every year, the Restore-a-thon needs to be stirred back up again. Amen. And restore the budget so we can cast the light around the world again for another year. Appreciate the walkers. I encourage you, if you didn't go back to the table, make sure you go back and get something from them. There's good things for you to have. You know, you may say, I don't have time to read. You don't have time not to read. All right. You say, I don't need another witnessing tool. But everybody needs a hat. Amen. A good one. And if you don't get one back there, there's some coming in Restore-a-thon. Come and talk. Come and preach to us.
All right. Thank you, preacher. Appreciate that. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go back to Matthew chapter 5. And we'll jump right in where we left off this morning about let your light shine. Matthew chapter 5. And boy, we sure have enjoyed getting to be back here at Landmark Baptist Church. This is a special place. And we thank the Lord for the ministry here. And what a blessing and encouragement you've been to us. Thank you for your kind words. Thank you for your hospitality. And we appreciate your preacher and his friendship. We've known them for over 30 years. And what a blessing it is to have good friends that just stick with the stuff. And they don't change. And they just keep on keeping on. So we have one of our songs, I'll Stick with the Old Stuff. And just stuck with it, stuck by it. And what a blessing that's been. And we sure do appreciate the ministry here. Hope that you'll get one of our prayer cards if you haven't got one already. Pray for us. Well, it means a lot to know you got folks in your corner praying for you. I encourage you maybe to get a napkin holder and put the prayer cards of the missionaries and ministries that you all support and know and love, and stack them in there. And at every meal, rotate them through. Pull off the one on the top and just mention them in prayer, and then put them at the back and grab the next one and just keep rotating them through. That way you can keep them in front of you and to remember them, pray for them, pray for God's provision, pray for his safety, pray for God to give us fruit for our labor and to protect us as we travel this country doing the work of an evangelist. It takes money to get people saved. It takes money to run the ministries here. Somebody said, just all about the money. You know, kind of said it in kind of critical a little bit. It's all about the money. Always talking about money. And I'm thinking, yeah, because where your heart is, your treasure will be. And it takes money to get the gospel out. And so therefore, you know, you give and you can, your dollars are converted into souls. That's what it is. That money that you give is going toward getting some people to heaven to hear the gospel. And so it takes money to fund that radio station. And so y'all are a great group of givers. And boy, eternity, only eternity will tell the impact that you've had. That's for sure. Because people here get saved and you don't even know about it. That's for sure. If you enjoy the songs about heaven, this is one of my favorite CDs back there on the table called Heaven Bound. And folks are encouraged by the songs about heaven. In fact, we've sung around the bed of many a dying saint. One time one of our dear friends was in the hospital, and he had congestive heart failure. And we pulled our rig into the hospital parking lot. Miraculously, we found some room, and we ran up there, and I called him, saying, "Hey, we're here. Can we come up and see you?" And she said, "Do you have your instruments?" And I said, "Yeah, everywhere we go, they go. Everywhere I go, Champ goes. Everywhere, I mean, it just all comes together, right?" And she said, "Well, good, bring them up here." And I said, "No, wait, you're in intensive care." She said, "Yeah." I said, "You might want to ask them before you bring up a gospel band into the room," because at that time, the whole crew, all of us were to get traveling together. And she said, "Okay, I'll ask them." And I thought, she's going to be greatly disappointed. She's going to go back and they're going to tell her no. And this was in Pennsylvania, okay? And she comes back on the phone, "Ranger Walker, they said, come on up." I said, "In intensive care?" She said, "Yeah." And okay. So we grabbed our instruments. Joe had his mandolin, KW had the bass, I had the guitar, Jeannie had the banjo, and Loretta had the drum set, and just seeing if you're paying attention. And we went up there in that room. They took us into intensive care, and we gathered around Brother Dunn's bed, and we sang in intensive care. I couldn't believe it. I was in shock that they would let us do that. We went in there, and we sang all the songs about heaven that we could. Tears running down his face. It provided great comfort and encouragement to him and to his wife and family. You know, he didn't ask for a country song. He didn't ask for a rock song. He didn't ask for a rap song. He wanted the old songs of Zion. And we gathered. What a honor that was to be able to do that. My cousin was passing of cancer, and he had multiple issues, and his time was short. We just cut this CD on Heaven Bound. And so I sent it to him. I said, "I want you to check it out. Tell me what you think." He was one of our biggest cheerleaders. You know, you got people in your life, they're like a mentor. They've invested in you. And you're connected to them. And there's somebody that's believed in you. Well, this was my cousin, Sonny. He's much older than I. And he was that way to us. And so I sent it to him, because I wanted to be a blessing to him. He turned out being more of a blessing to us, because he's like, "Kevin," he said, "I love that CD." And he said, "Boy, it's been such a blessing." He says, "Them songs on there are just awesome." He was going on and on. And whenever he passed, they'd asked me to have part in his funeral. And I did. And while I was there, the family was talking, and they teasingly in jest said, "We're glad that Dad passed away." I was like, "Why?" They said, "Because we got tired of hearing your CD." Because they said, that's all he played. He put it on repeat, and it was just on constant. They said, "We heard it over and over and over again." And, of course, we laughed about it, and they really meant it. But but he didn't. It provided great comfort, those songs of Zion. I thought, if that's all that ever came of it, if that was the only blessing, it was worth it. But I love the Heaven's Bright Shore. That's my favorite one. Jeannie Mae sings that. And Hallelujah, I'm Ready to Go. Everything That Won't Be There, that's a fun song. Where the Soul Never Dies, on and on. Some great songs about heaven. And if you got a loved one that's passing and they're a Christian, they love the songs about heaven. Or it might comfort you if you've got a loved one that you have lost or in the process of losing. Those songs of Zion provide great comfort. And I hope that you, if you have a minute, stop by, get a prayer card, pray for us. And if you don't have money to buy anything, just see Brother Richard, because he's loaded and he's got a lot of money, and he'll buy it for you, okay? Isn't that right? Okay, amen. All right, hopefully, Matthew chapter 5, let's stand together, shall you? Oh, and I got a little book here on Dixie. Everybody loves Dixie Dog. She was stolen from me 7 years ago. And I don't know if I've shared the story or not, but they stole her, and she was gone for 2 weeks. We were on Fox News, NBC and ABC News, okay, primetime news, telling about this dog that rides the horse. And through a miraculous event, we were able to find her and get her recovered. And her story's in this book. It's a great lesson about obedience and about answered prayer. And if you've got some youngins in your home, it's a great tool, and they always enjoy that book. But folks of all ages like it. It's just a powerful testimony story. That's back there. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 13. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You're the light of the world, because you can't have light without salt. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Speak to our hearts tonight. Challenge us. May we be better and different because of this time. We ask this in your name. Amen. You all can be seated. We sing that song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm gonna let it shine." Sing it with me. "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. We'll hide it under a bushel, no. I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no. I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." I like this next verse. "I won't let Satan blow it out." I need somebody to represent the devil. Lord, Lord just told me Caleb. Come on up here, Caleb. Caleb's going to represent the devil. He said he was the closest thing. No, I'm kidding you. And so, Brother Caleb's going to help me tonight. He's going to represent the devil. Oh, the devil does not want you to have a light lit. Amen. Now, this is not a superhero cape today. You're not going to be Batman. Okay? You're not going to be a superhero. You're going to be... He's going to represent the devil. And let's see here. All right. And we need to add something to it to kind of set it off. I think this ought to work quite well. Boy, don't he look a lot better? So, the devil. Oh, wait, I got to educate him here. Just a minute. Now we got him educated. So here we go. Sing that verse with me. "And I won't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine." But the devil comes and he tries to blow out our light. Oh, yeah, but we don't want him to. We want to have a testimony. Man, we want to be an example. We want to let our light shine, to let the Lord, everybody see our good works. Just like the devil. He wants to put our light out. He wants to render us ineffective. Now, what can we do to keep our light lit? Man, we're in a battle. Well, I want to give you some helpful habits for a happy, healthy church. And look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We find some imperative statements that the Apostle Paul gives us, some helpful suggestions, these helpful habits for the happy, healthy church. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 16. How can I keep my light lit? How can I keep my testimony for the Lord? How can I keep it shining to help other people see? Well, first thing I'm going to do is right there, verse number 16. The Bible says, "Rejoice evermore." That word "rejoice evermore," it means to feel or to show great joy or delight. It's the act of expressing gladness. See, the Bible says in Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." We're commanded to rejoice, to express gladness and happiness, okay? So, preacher, who do you got in church? One of your men that is, they got the attitude of joy. And by the way, this attitude creates a life of consistent and constant joy when you got this going on. So they express gladness. Who do you got in your church that's a joyful person?
Danny Chamberlain.
Danny Chamberlain? Where's Danny? Come up here. Okay. Man, sorry to wake you up, brother, but you're going to come up and help me in the message. Brother Chamberlain. All right. Yeah, we're going to add some rejoicing to our life to help us. Okay. You go. Come on over here, Brother Danny. I tell you what, I'm going to put some rejoicing between me and the old devil. Yeah, buddy. And I'm going to get my light lit here because I tell you what, I'm not going to be depressed, discouraged, and the devil comes and he tries to blow out my light. But this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And the devil comes and blows out my line because rejoicing is dropping the ball back here. Okay, well, my joy is based on things that are eternal. My joy, it's built on things that don't change. That's why it says rejoice evermore. So my joy is not based on the price of fuel, although it's greatly affected by the price of fuel. When you spend about $45,000 a year in fuel, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. That's a lot of money, okay? And so, but my joy should not be based on the price of fuel. My joy should not be based upon things that change, you know, feelings, the economy, politics. Oh, no, my joy should not be based there. Rejoicing evermore, my joy should be based on things that don't change. The Word of God doesn't change. My salvation doesn't change. Amen. Oh, I tell you what, Jesus doesn't change. And somebody that's rejoicing, they rejoice evermore. They're a happy person. So we got to activate that. If we're going to keep our light lit for the Lord, something else we got to do. Look the next verse, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. That's living a life of instant prayer. You ought to just be able to pray anytime, anywhere, about anything. That's a good habit to have. You don't have to, you know, be just before you bed or just before you go to bed on your knees, you know, kneeling. No, you can pray anytime, anywhere. The other day I was with a preacher and something was said about a need. And he said, let's pray about that. Boom, he just started praying right then and there. That ought to be normal. Huh? Because that's what it means to pray without ceasing. We're just instant praying. That pray without ceasing, it means don't ever give up on prayer. It means without losing confidence that God will answer prayer. Bible says in Luke 18:1 that men ought always to pray and not to faint. But preacher, who you got? I mean, if you needed something prayed about, this guy's on praying ground. You'd call him up. You got somebody that comes to your mind?
Brother Wiebe.
Brother Wiebe? Brother Wiebe, we're all as surprised as everybody else. Anyway, Brother Wiebe, come on up here. I didn't know he prayed. Brother Wiebe. Okay. Brother Wiebe, oh, yeah. All right, come on over here rejoicing. Yeah, come over here next to me, and let's get some prayer in here. Let's say let's put some prayer over here and some rejoicing over here. Okay, now.
So here we go.
Man, I got some. I'm praying. I'm not going to give up on prayer. I believe God can, will answer prayer. And my joy is based on things that are eternal. But that old devil still comes and he wants to blow out my light. He wants to try to come and blow it out. But I'm going to try. I got some extra reinforcements here. Going to give me some strength to keep my light shining. Trying to hold him back, cause this the light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, this the light of mine. Yeah, it's not so easy now. I got some praying. I got some praying without ceasing. I got some joy of the Lord. I got some, you know, I need some more help's what I need. Anyway, well, hey, don't ever give up on praying. If you're gonna keep your light lit, okay, The fact that God's going to, he is going to take care of you. Especially if you're about getting souls saved. Lord's going to take care. Lord blesses the church that doesn't forget the commission. Amen. The Lord blesses the radio station. That's why I love it. It's gospel. Well, yeah. The Lord blesses that. When you're about getting souls saved, it's okay. You're not going to go bankrupt. When you're getting people saved, you're not going to go under. Okay? And so that's the main thing. Well, so the Lord's going to meet your needs. Well, Jeannie Mae, my daughter, that was singing with us this morning, it would have been June. This June will be 2 years that her husband took his life. Some of you know about it, some don't. She's not here tonight. She's got a real close friend over in Tampa, and they're spending some time together here since we were in the area. And because she's not here, I can talk about it a little easier. But that was a tragic set of events that brought that about when he took his own life. The two little girls left behind, sad, sad story. Her whole world, as you can imagine, was turned upside down. And so it wasn't good for her to be home by herself. She needed to be with us. So she actually came back on the road. She grew up on the road. And so it was very easy for her to come back on the road to be with us, have mom and dad. You know, when something like that happens, who do you call? Who do you go to? Well, usually it's whoever you're closest to, especially if you got a mom or a dad that you're connected and close with. Well, Jeannie Mae, she came back on the road with us, and she traveled around living out of a suitcase. And I felt like she'd probably end up coming back on the road, but I wanted her to make that decision. I wanted God to, and the Lord did that work in her heart. She says, Dad, I feel like God wants me to come back on the road. Well, when she did, we didn't have money to buy a rig. To put her in the road, and all five of us isn't going to live in that bus so easy. It's just not set up for that. And so we were praying, okay, Lord, what are we going to do? We need a rig. It's going to take money to get a rig. We don't have it, so we prayed. What do you do? Well, when you don't know what to do, you can pray. And when you do know what to do, you can pray. And so we just started praying, and we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed. Lord, we don't have the money for this, and you're going to need to see. If God's in it, he has a way of opening doors, and he has a way of closing doors. Amen. Okay? And so God was in it. We prayed, and I had a friend says, hey, Ranger Walker, if Jeannie decides to come back on the road, I want you to call me. We want to help you make that happen. So I called him up. I said, brother, you told me to call you. I'm just doing what you said. And Jeannie's decided to come back on the road. He says, awesome. He says, have you found anything? And I says, well, we're looking. He says, well, when you find something, let me know, and I want to help. Well, that was kind of open-ended, right? It's like, how much? I don't know, but hey, my name's Jimmy. I'll take what you give me, all right? Lord knows. So we prayed. And we found a rig, found that truck and trailer that's out here. Great deal on both of them. Big story. Don't want to take the time. How the Lord answered the prayer and met the need, and that trailer was an evangelist had it. He passed away. His family was trying to sell it, and they wanted it to go back into the ministry and gave us a steal of a deal on it. And this is interesting. Jeannie wanted a bathtub because a lot of those RVs don't have tubs anymore, just showers only. So with the little girls, having a tub was a blessing. So she said, Dad, I'd really like to have a bathtub. So she's praying for a bathtub. And she's praying for a washer dryer, a stackable apartment size. Some of them have apartment size washer dryers, and they do a lot better job than those little combo units that are just worthless and junk. So she wanted a separate washer dryer. And then she said, Dad, I don't need this, but I'd really like to have a fireplace. In an RV? You want a fireplace? She says, you know, they have one of them electric ones, you know, for ambiance. And so I'm like, okay. So basically it was electric heater. Glorified electric heater looks like a fireplace. So that's what she's praying for. Whenever I found this trailer, guess what it had? Had a bathtub. Had the washer dryer, separate units. And it had a fireplace. And they had just put new I mean, the inside of that thing was in awesome shape. The outside is kind of shows its age, but the inside was like really super clean. Oh, man. So they let us have that thing for $10,000, which was a super deal for what that unit is, right? It's a Travel Supreme fifth wheel, and they're built real well. Then we got the truck. They wanted $52,000 for the truck. I got it for $40,000, and it was set up for towing. I mean, it was all we had to do is get in it and just take off. And she wanted a Ford because it had six cup holders. She's a big drinker, okay? Six cup holders or something. But she likes Fords. She wanted a Ford. And guess what? So it's a Ford. And so we found the truck and trailer. I'm thinking, okay, Lord, what are we going to do to finance this? I'll call my buddy, called him up. Hey, we found a unit. We found the truck and the trailer. We've been praying and praying. Jeannie was praying. And he said, okay, he said, I'm going to send you a check. And I'm thinking, I wish I knew how much he was going to send me so I could know how much to, what we got to do. And so he said, we kept talking a little bit longer. And he said, all right, he says, I'm going to have my wife send you a check for $50,000. Did you just say $50,000? The truck's $40,000 and the trailer's $50,000. You're going to send me a check for, he says, yeah, he says, I told you I'd back you on this deal. I'm thinking, I never expected him to just to pay for the whole thing, to pay for it all. But God laid it on his heart. And God heard the prayers of our family and answered those prayers and supplied that need. Boy, you talk about increasing your faith. And you know what? That was so good for her to see God do that. She said, Daddy, if there was any doubt in my mind that I was not supposed to go on the road, she says, it's gone now. She said, God made a way. Amen. Oh, yeah, when God's in it, he'll make a way. Amen. Hey, if we're going to keep our light lit, hey, pray without singing. I had to tell you that story. Let me give you another one here. It says right there, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. Preacher, who you got that is, I mean, they are grateful. They got the attitude of gratitude. They are all the time praising and thanking God. I mean, they are going to, if somebody does, they're very grateful, very thankful. You got a man like that that's a thankful man?
Brother Benton.
You know, there's no delay. I mean, he's just like, boom. Brother Benton, where's Benton at? Spanish pastor. Oh, hey, I can speak Spanish. Hey, come on down here, my friend. We're going to use you tonight. You just hurry up a little bit there, brother. Okay, come on down here. There he is. Good, we're glad you're here tonight. Because we are going to use you. Now, my friend, you are going to represent being thankful. I told you I could speak Spanish. Now, okay. Having the attitude of gratitude, giving thanks. Bible says in Psalms 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Bible says in Philippians 4:6 that we ought to pray. In fact, I think it's still here. Let's see. Is Philippians still in the book? Where's it at? Ephesians, Philippians. Where's it at here? Philippians chapter number 4. Okay. In verse, oh yeah, there it is, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests, every prayer in the Bible, you find that they're praising God and thanking God. In Ephesians, in Acts chapter number 4, we find they had a prayer meeting and they started out praising God with it. In Acts 4:24, in Acts 16:25, Paul and Silas in prison, and at midnight, Paul and Silas had a prayer meeting. And it says, and they praised God. Amen. Yeah, you find the prayers in the Bible all start out with praise, all start out with thanksgiving. Man, that's an attitude of gratitude in every situation. How can I be thankful? Even about, like my daddy was passing away. He was dying. His body was shutting down like somebody tripping breakers in a panel box. He was dying. How can I be thankful? Well, I wasn't thankful my daddy was dying. But in everything, give thanks. So I could be thankful in every situation. I could be thankful that I had a dad. Daddy's dying, but I'm thankful I had one. I'm thankful for all the memories that I had of my daddy. And all the good, oh yeah. See, In everything, give thanks. We can always be grateful. I wasn't thankful for Dad's death, but I could be thankful in it. Thankful that I had one. Thankful for the memories we shared. Thankful. Man, so you're going to represent Thanksgiving, right? You're going to represent prayer. You're going to represent, what are you, joy? Joy. Rejoicing. Hey, let me give you another one here. Look at verse number 19. The Bible says in, I lost my page here, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Here's another imperative statement, Paul's command. We're going to keep our light lit. What are we going to do? Quench not the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit of God. Okay. I'm not going to quench the Holy Spirit-controlled Christian. Boy, Bible says in Galatians 5:16, it says, this is how we walk in the Spirit. It says, if you walk, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Bible says in Romans 6:13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So, preacher, who's that Holy Spirit-controlled Christian? I mean, if there's somebody if the Lord leads them to do it, they're going to do it. You know somebody that just like, they're tuned into the Spirit of God?
Brother James?
Yeah. Brother James, your wife is quite shocked about this. That's all right. Come on up here. Brother James is going to represent that Holy Spirit-controlled Christian. He's not going to quench the Spirit. Spirit of God, lays on his heart to give the evangelist $100. And he's not going to quench the Spirit.
Still praying about it.
Yeah, he's still praying. He's going to do it. Holy Spirit moves you, preacher. Have you ever felt led, provoked, pushed, reminded of something? That's the Holy Spirit's job, okay? And so we don't want to quench you. The Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, and you know that you ought to do it, but you don't. You're quenching him. He says, give that person a track. You don't. He says, put that money in the offering. You don't. He says, come down and use the altar, but you don't. You're quenching him. You're getting calluses towards, and you're not being sensitive to the Spirit of God. If I'm going to keep my light lit, if I'm going to keep the devil out, okay, come on over here a little bit. I'm going to get surrounded. Now, come over here, Miss Thankful Giving. Man, I'm going to be praying. I'm not going to give up on praying. I got the joy of the Lord. Okay, now. Here we go now. Man, I've implemented these things in my life because I want to keep my light lit. I want to have a testimony. And the devil comes and tries to blow out my light. But this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, he's sneaky. I'm going to look. Yeah, the devil, he's got a lot of devices, okay? He's going to try to get through. He doesn't want you to be effective, okay? He doesn't want you to have a testimony. He doesn't want you to lead people to Jesus or to glorify God, okay? And so we've got to activate these things in order to keep strong and to keep him. I'm not going to let him blow it out. I'm not going to let him get through. I'm not going to let him blow my light out. No, sir, indeed. Needed some help. Anyway. Well, he spit on me right there. Yeah. That's what put it out. Okay. I want to keep it lit. But you, if you'd activate these things, it's going to help you be stronger. It's going to help you build up a defense, okay? It's going to help you to keep from losing your testimony, losing your light, losing your joy, being thankful, quenching not the Spirit. I like this next one here in verse number 20. It says, despise not prophesying. Man, preacher, who you got that loves preaching? I mean, they're your biggest amener. Buddy, you can't preach too hard enough for them. Man, they love preaching. Whoo, yeah, if there's preaching going on, they're going to be here. Mm-hmm.
Brother Ron Mark.
Brother Ron? Where's he at, Brother Ron? Oh, there he is. Good. Brother Ron, come on up here. Well, he needs it, doesn't he? Needs preaching. Needs a lot of preaching. Give this guy, okay, come over here. Falling in love with preaching. Oh, man, I tell you what. He says, despise not prophesying. Oh, man, they're going to have preaching again. Everything they do around here in Landmark, they're preaching, preaching, preaching. Just drive it down your throat. No, they despise not prophesying. Thank God for preaching. Man, God uses the foolishness of preaching. I think it's still in the book. Let me see. Oh, yeah, here it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Those that are going to hell think that's foolish because they're going to hell. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. All those that are saved love the preaching. Those that have gotten saved, they're like, man, we thank the Lord for the preaching. Thank God for having a preacher that'll get up and not be afraid to say, thus saith the Lord. Don't lowly esteem, magnify. It's got a high value. Despise not prophesying. And it goes on and says, prove all things, hold fast. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So, preacher, who you got, they're not going to be a go-with-the-flow Christian. I mean, whenever you're proving all things, holding fast, the Bible tells us in Acts 17, 11, that they searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Okay? They were in the book. And if the book says it, boy, bless God, they're going to do it. And the Bible says we line up with the Bible, we preach the Bible, and who you got that's like that? Dr. Pitts. Dr. Pitts. Where's Dr. Pitts? There he is over there. Come on up here, Dr. Pitts. Oh, yeah. Gonna hold fast. I'm gonna prove all things. The Bible says it. That settle it. I'm not gonna change the proven methods. That which has been tried and tested and true, man, it's sowing and still works. The old gospel story still works. We're going to be old-fashioned. Speaking about old. we're not going to go there. I mean, we're not.
Who's got the white hair?
Okay. Somebody said, he's so old. When God said, let there be light, he flipped the switch. But anyway. Okay, so come on, Brother Pitts. I'm going to have you come down here on this end. All right, here we go. Brother Pitts is going to represent holding fast. Man, thank God for those that, hey, standing on the book. Okay? Because we're going to try to keep our light lit. Because the old devil, he tries to keep us out. He tries to render us ineffective. He wants to blow out that light. He doesn't want people to see. And so if he can render you ineffective, if he can get you, okay, to get discouraged, if he can cause you to just give up on prayer, if he can keep you from being, if he can get you to be selfish and not be thankful, and if he can get you to quench the spirit and get grabbed by the preacher, he's all the time, you know, just, he thinks he's God, dictator, trying to tell us what to do. Uh-huh. If the devil can get you to start thinking that way, yeah, next thing you know, your light's going to be out, okay, because he wants to put it out. Let me give you one more here. And the last one it says is abstain from all appearance of evil. That means to hold yourself one back. Choose not to partake. To stop yourself. To say no to evil. To restrain. To decline. It means to avoid the temptations and the approaches to sin. I'm going to abstain from all appearance of evil. I'm going to avoid the temptations. I'm going to avoid the approaches. I'm going to stay way far back, okay? I mean, don't, they're not going to camp out on the border. Preacher, who you got that doesn't always make a run for the border? If this is the border, they're going to be way far away from that. They're going to camp out on the edge. Who you got, somebody like that?
Daniel Correa.
Daniel Correa.
It'll look lower. It'll look lower.
Daniel, oh, there he is. Brother Daniel, come on up here. He's going to represent abstaining, avoiding temptations, okay? You're not going to pitch your tent towards Sodom, okay? Because we want to keep our light lit. Now, fellas, come on in and gather here around me. We got a pretty good group now.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Now I got my reinforced. Stay around here close, boys. Stay around here close. I got a man. I got my light lit. Woohoo! Yeah, I got some reinforcements. And now I'm going to let my light shine. And the devil comes and tries to blow out my light. Sing it with me. This the light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. This the light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. This the light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Well, I won't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Won't let. Just throw them in the baptistry. I don't care. Shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Oh, yeah. Let's give my men a big hand. Oh, I want to keep my light lit. Dr. Joe Boyd, hero, mentor of mine. My youngest son was named Joseph Carl Walker, named after Joe Boyd and Carl Hatch, two evangelists that had a major impact on my life. Dr. Boyd was in his, he was going through, Brother House took the keys away from him. In his early 80s, probably 83, 84, took his keys away because he was still driving the bus. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit was the only way he was keeping it between the lines. Because he was fall asleep, you know? And he put a bunch of tape across his steering wheel to hold his Bible. And he would read his Bible while driving this Greyhound bus, converted bus down the road, okay? He was a genius. He was one of the smartest men. Prophecy, soul winning, but he was a great soul winning revivalist. And in his early 80s, Brother House takes the keys away, so he's flying to his meetings. He hated it because he's like me. He liked having all of his stuff with him, you know? And so that was hard on him. Well, he got to where he would forget. And he started telling the same illustrations over. He just told it, but then he'd start to tell it again. And so preachers, and then sometimes he'd say things that, wow. And so preachers were not having him and using him as much. I mean, he still, you know, you don't want to feel like you don't have a purpose. And he was so driven, and he wanted to keep going. And boy, it was hard for us that loved him to see him get to that point to where he just couldn't do what he used to do. And so you know what he did? At the age of 85, he still had a burning desire to see people saved. At the age of 85, he learned Spanish. Now, can you imagine learning a new language at 85? Why? Because he said there's a harvest of souls in Mexico. And I might not be able to preach revivals like I used to, but I can preach the gospel. Amen. That's one thing he could do. And he never lost that. And he memorized sermons in Spanish and learned to speak enough Spanish. And he traveled all over Mexico preaching. Preached a lot for Kevin Wynn down there. He's got probably the world's largest independent fundamental Baptist church. He preached a lot for him, getting people saved. Why? Because he wanted to keep his light shining. He wasn't going to let the old devil blow it out, even though he couldn't do what he used to do. Even though he couldn't preach revivals like he wanted to. Even though he couldn't drive his bus, he could still let his light shine. Even though he was getting older and it was hard for him, but he still kept on. I'll never forget. And we were all so amazed that he would learn Spanish and then he'd go to Mexico and he would preach and had thousands get saved. At the end of his ministry, he was just kept on retread. He had to go in for a throat procedure and they actually cut him from ear to ear. And they told him he shouldn't talk. Now, telling an evangelist not to talk is like telling a woman not to shop. I think it's impossible. And for Dr. Boyd, he couldn't not talk about the Lord. Loretta and I went to pick him up at the airport because he had had the procedure done at Mayo Clinic, and he flew in. We went and picked him up. He wanted to stop and get some soup. He could just barely talk, just about like this, about all he could talk. Wasn't even supposed to be doing that. And he wanted to stop by the restaurant to get soup. It wasn't, that's not why he wanted to stop. He wanted to stop so he'd have an opportunity to witness to a waitress. Because he couldn't go out knocking doors like he used to. He couldn't hit the streets like he wanted, but whenever you got a waitress that comes to your table, she can't leave until she gets your order. And he wouldn't give his order until he had a chance to witness to her. And she came to the table, I'll never forget. And he strikes up a conversation with her. He says, "Ma'am, I just come from Mayo Clinic." He says, "They cut my throat from ear to ear." And he pulled the scarf down that was kind of hiding it. And she was just like, oh, it's terrible. It was all black and blue. He had her attention. Because he said, "I was dying. They were counting me down." He was dying. And they brought him back. And he said, "If I would have died, I would have went to heaven. How about you?" Now you, he had that girl. Loretta and I are sitting there just like, I can't believe this guy. He shouldn't even be talking. He should have went home, but instead he wants to stop by Denny's and get a bowl of soup. It was just another opportunity for him to let his light shine. And that lady bowed her head and he wandered to Jesus. Right there. She bowed her head and prayed. Boy, you could just feel the power of God on his life. And she could sense it and feel it. And you could just tell. I says, boy, the Lord met with us and spoke to her. And under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, she bowed her head, prayed, got saved, wiping away the tears. She went to go get, because then after she got saved, then he gave her the order. She went and got it. And he said, "They might take my voice away, but they can't take my soul in it away." Amen. They couldn't take his light away. Amen. He wasn't going to stop letting it shine. Amen. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us not to let the devil blow out our light. Help us not to let him get a foothold and get victory. I pray that you'd help us to retread. I pray you'd help us to be driven and motivated. Lord, I pray we'd activate these things in our life so that we could be more effective for you. Oh, Lord, I pray that you'd work in hearts. Maybe there's been some folks that have, Lord, they've been overcome with trials and hardships. Maybe it's been a while since they've seen an answer to prayer. Maybe they've been resisting your spirit. I don't know what's been going on in their life, but I pray tonight you'd help them to press the reset button. Lord, I pray tonight they would be encouraged and inspired, and tonight they would decide, I'm going to just keep on retreading. Lord, I just want you to use me. And Lord, there might be some folks here that feel like Dr. Boyd. I can't do what I used to do, but God, I just don't want to give up. So Lord, what could I do? Well, we could be a witness for you. We can still tell other people about you and what you've done for us. As long as we're breathing, help us to do that. Lord, speak to hearts. If there's anybody here that's lost, they don't know they're going to heaven, I pray tonight would be their night. And they would decide they want to receive that free gift of eternal life. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, let's all stand together as the instruments begin to play a verse of invitation. If the Lord has spoken to you in any form or fashion, you slip out from your seat, you come. You might say, I want to keep my light lit. I don't want the devil to blow it out. Maybe you've been discouraged. Maybe you thought about giving up. I don't know what it is. How God has worked with you. You might be a senior citizen feeling like, what can I do? Dr. Boyd felt that way. He just said, I'm just going to keep telling people about Jesus. Can't do what I used to do, but I can still keep on telling people about the love of God. Oh yeah, that's something we can always do. Talk about the goodness of God. What God has done for you, that's one of your best kept secrets, is your salvation, what God did for you. These have come. These are praying. You spend as much time as you need. Preacher's going to come. He'll take over the invitation, but obey God tonight.